Okay. So, Parshas Vayetze, Tavshin Ayin. Our subject today is Rachel. Because in her short life, what she accomplished was so exceptional that it guarantees the ultimate geula for Klal Yisrael. Right? So first what we're going to do is read a lot of Midrashim, which means how Chazal see Rachel's contribution. A lot of the Midrashim that work with that, those famous psukim, you know, Kol Brama Nishma, that Hashem says, Rachel, stop crying. V'shavu banim l'gvulam, the children are going to return. The fact that she's not buried in Maris Machpelah, she's buried on the road to the Golus. We know today in Beis Lechem. And what we're going to do is analyze Rachel's contribution. What did Rachel do? I mean, we know what she did. She gave the Simanim, but we're going to go into it in depth and understand the appreciation that Klal Yisrael has forever for Rachel did, and understand if we can, you know, the magnitude of her spiritual achievements. It's overwhelming. Haraya that it's overwhelming. The proof that it's overwhelming is even that's the way Chazal see it. Also, it's overwhelming for God Himself what Rachel did. So beyond, it goes way beyond anything Avram ever accomplished and anything Yitzchak or Yaakov or Moshe accomplished. So here's the first medrash that we're going to work with. It's a long medrash, so I'm not going to quote the entire thing. And it comes from Eicha Rabba. We'll go through it slowly. I'll do most of it in English. So when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Avram lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avram came and he was crying and pulling on his beard and pulling out his hair and pleading. And he said, Ribono Shel Olam, you gave me a child at 100 years. And when he finally was a bar das, someone that could carry on my future, you told me to give him as an ola, not to have any rachmanas. And I did, and I put him on the altar. So you should have rachmanas. No response. Yitzchak starts and he says, Rabbono Shel Olam, my father told me I'm going to give you for an ola. I didn't do anything. Total bittul, total self-negation. I didn't resist. I allowed my father to put me on the Mizbeach. Total self-negation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a chus of this, that I devoted everything to you. So you should have Rachmanes and Klal Yisrael, who've also given their lives up, you might say, for so often. Certainly today it's even more the case for a Klal Yisrael. Yaakov starts and he says, Ribono Shel Olam, I was 20 years in the house of Lavan, and then I had to contend with Esav, who tried to kill me, and kill my children, and I risked my life for this, and now our children are at risk from Esav. So have Rachmanas. I risked my life to fight Esav to create Klal Yisrael, and now Esav is destroying Klal Yisrael, and their life is at risk. Have Rachmanas. No response. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ribono Shel Olam, was not I a worthy shepherd of Klal Yisrael 40 years? I ran before them like a horse in the desert, and when it came time for me to come into Eretz Yisrael, you didn't let me in, and I accepted it. I died in the desert, and now that they've been exiled and they're out of Eretz Yisrael, I endured the pain of not being allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael, and then the zechus of that led them who are outside of Eretz Yisrael enduring that same pain be returned to Eretz Yisrael. No response. Then comes Rachel in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she says, Ribono Shel Olam, you know, it's revealed to you that Yaakov loved me exceedingly and worked for me for 7 years. And when those 7 years were done and the marriage time came, my father decided to switch, to make that switch, right? And so I gave him simanim, because I knew what my father was about to do. So I gave him simanim. We exchanged signs that we'd be able to recognize each other. So my father couldn't pull off this. But that night came, and he put my sister in there instead of me, and I gave her those simanim, so that he'll think it's Rachel. And more than that, I actually went into the room and I would answer your questions. I was under the bed. And therefore you didn't know it was her. V'gamalti chesed ima, and here are the words, and I did that, this chesed with her, v'lo kinesiba, and I wasn't jealous of her, so that she shouldn't be humiliated. right? Uman and I am basar v'dam. I'm afar ve'efer, dust and ashes. And I did not have any kinnah for my sister that would be the second wife, and I did not allow her to be embarrassed, and you are the king, melechai v'kayam v'rachaman, and you're jealous of sticks and stones that they're worshipping that are nothing? I actually gave up my husband and my role in the marriage. And I dealt with that jealousy. And here, Klal Yisrael are being embarrassed and humiliated by the goyim, and I didn't allow her to be embarrassed. And you're so jealous, and these are sticks and stones that cause, you know, that you're jealous of and causing Klal Yisrael to be humiliated because they worship sticks and stones. So, miyad, and instantly, Nisgalglu Rachamav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's Rachmanus overwhelmed him, so to speak, like waves. And he said, Bishvilcha Rachel, because of you, I'm going to return Klal Yisrael to their place. And this is what it says, Kol Berama Nishma, Nihi Bechit Hamarim, Rachel Mevakal Baneha, Meyana Lahinachem, how will she be comforted on her children? Ki Einena, they're no longer in Eretz Yisrael. Kol Mar Hashem, Hashem answers, Mini Kolech Mibechi, stop crying, stop your voice from crying, your eyes from shedding tears. There is schar, there is reward, lepu'ulasech. So, what is the schar for Rachel's efforts? The schar is shavu banim ligvur lam. Exactly. So Rachel, we're going to look at her efforts and we're going to look at her schar. Here's another medrash that we're not as familiar with, but this is how in the medrash Rabba, in the Bereishis Rabba, they touch up, they explain, they read between the lines of the little conversation Yaakov had when he got to the vicinity of where he was running away from Esav, and he got to Laban's vicinity. So it's Vayomer Lahem Yaakov, he said to the people gathered around. Vayomer Lahem Yaakov. Yaakov said to them, Achai, my brothers, may I and Atem, where are you from? Vayomer, and they said, Mecharon Anachne, we're from Charon. Vayomer Lahem, so Yaakov said to them, Hayadatem es Lavan ben Nachar? That's here in our parsha. Do you know Lavan, the son of Nachar? So they say, Yadanu, yeah, we know. Vayomer lehem, so Yaakov said to them, Hashalom lo? Is peace with him? See, okay, Vayomru shalom. Vihine Rachel ba, bito ba im hatzon. And here comes Rachel with the son. So here's a chazal, read what this really means in a much larger picture, in the historical picture. So here's how it goes. The Bereishis Rabba says, Vayomer lehem Yaakov, achai, Rabbi Yossi bar Chananya, pasar kar, Sar Kirya Begolus. He explained this pasuk as relating to the Golus. V'yomelam Yaakov. Yaakov said, "Where are you from?" And they answered, "Mecharon Anachnu." What that really means is, "Mecharonu Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu Anachnu Baruchim." Charon is Charon, is also Charon Af, anger. Charon Af is used exclusively. Vayichar Af only in association with Avodah Zarah. So Klal Yisrael were Oved Avodah Zarah, the first Chorban we're talking about. Second Chorban is Sinas Chinam, which we'll speak about too. So Yaakov says to the Achai, my brothers, you speak to Klal Yisrael, you know, where are you from? Why are you here in Golus? And they're answering, Mecharon Apo, it's his fury that it caused us to run here. So V'yomer Lehem, so then Yaakov says to them, Hayadatem es Lavan ben Nachor, do you know Lavan? Which really means, Hayadatem es Mishu Asid Lelavin Avonoseichem Kashelig. Do you know someone that can cleanse your sins and make it white like snow? Lavan is a play on Lelavin, to clean. Do you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do you have a path? Do you have a path to guarantee that your sins will be cleansed? So they said, V'yomer Lehem Hashalom Lo. He says, Vayomer Hashalom Lo. Is there going to be Shalom? Will there be some peace, reconciliation? Vayomru. And they said, Shalom. Yeah, there will be. So he asked, Be'ezeh Zechus. And what Zechus? Are you sure that there's going to be Shalom? Behine Rachel Bito Ba'im Hatzon. And Rachel was coming with the Tzon, Rachel the shepherdess. She was the guarantee of the Shalom ultimately between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Hadahu dechtiv, and that's what it says. And they go back again. Kol Brahman Nishma. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu guarantees Rachel that there'll be her children will return. So clearly, the Chazal, it's established that the zechus of the Geula is in the schar for Rachel. That's how they read this whole thing. That's And so what we're going to say here is, what Chazal say, is it's greater than everybody else's chuyos. It's greater than whatever huge madrigas and whatever avoda took for Avram to put Yitzchak on the Akedah, and Yitzchak to lay down on the Akedah, and Yaakov to go through all his trials, and Moshe Rabbeinu, it's bigger than all of them. That's clearly what Chazal are saying. So what we have to analyze now is, what did Rachel do that's bigger than Yitzchak laying down on the Akedah? And Moshe Rabbeinu selflessly serving Klal Yisrael and then not even being allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Everybody demonstrates bittul, total bittul. Let's think about it. Avram demonstrates bittul, total self-negation, because Hashem promised him a child and said, this child will be your future. And then he said, kill the child. So Avram's bittul was intellectual. He had to totally negate everything he knew to be true and submit without a word to this Kaddish Baruch Hu's will. That's a total bittul of what I know to be true, machshava. Yitzchak was mevatel his physical life completely, right? Yaakov was also, there is a complete bittul in that Yaakov was sent on a journey by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to contend with Esav, and contend with Lavan, and contend with Esav, and then the Dina issue, and the Yosef issue, and be makabel all the challenges that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, and yet persevere. And Moshe Rabbeinu's total bittul, that's for sure. He gave up his wife, he gave up his family. And so where does Rachel's bittul exceed all of this? That's really their question. And she lived a very short life, two children, and it was over. And then her zechus is forever. So you begin to see something very interesting about Rachel. And you begin to see it in not just that she's not jealous, we're not going to focus on that, and not just that she's quiet and doesn't, you know, tell Yaakov that she's going to do this and give over Leah the Simonim. But there's another trend at play here with Rachel. I'm sorry, I'm going to borrow this for one second. When she doesn't have children, she does all this. You would expect that in reward, right, at least she would have children. She has no children, so she asks, so she becomes, and she sees Yaakov has the children. And she says to him, Hava li banim, right? Give me children. Let's find that pasuk. Okay, Perek Lamed. She says, Vatera Rachel ki lo yolda li Yaakov. That's interesting. Interesting phraseology there. Ki lo yolda li Yaakov. As opposed to who? It could have just said, Kilo Yolda. That's if, by the way, just to twist our brains a little bit, that's if this is referring to Rachel at all. Because it could also be read that Rachel saw, and I'll jog your memory of a previous year, but we're not going down that road, Kilo Yolda Liyakov could be referring to Leah. Because in the four children that Leah just gave birth, it never says that she gave birth to Liyakov. It says Vatele Ben, and it doesn't say Liyakov. It says Vatele Ben, and Ramban points it out. The first four children, it says Vatele Ben, and not Liyakov. However, with Yisachar and Zevulun, which is that after that whole interaction with the Dudayim, it does say that she gave birth to a child, Liyakov. And we spoke about in a previous year a very interesting concept, that the first four children that Leah bore were to bring in the kochos of Esav into Klal Yisrael. Really, she and Esav were the zivug. And really, Esav had kochos that needed to be part of Klal Yisrael, the Gedayim, right? And the leadership, the physical domination. It was meant to be, as you all know, a union, a partnership between the intellectual, you know, philosophical Yaakov and the practical nation-builder Esav working together. Ultimately, what became Yisachar and Zevulun. The first four children that she gave birth to were bringing these kochos of Esav into the melting pot of what would be Klal Yisrael. It doesn't say she gave birth to Liyakov. Yisachar and Zevulun, it does say she gave birth to Liyakov. So interestingly enough, but not saying, we're not going to go into how each child is some of the kochos of Esav brought into the family. And then it says, by the way, after she had the first four, a very strange phrase, it says, Batamod Miledes. That's not even true. She had more children. She stopped giving birth. She stopped giving birth in, you know, in terms of this tafkid, this, the bringing in of these children. But here, let's say that this is referring to Rachel herself, right? Vatera Rachel ki lo yolda, why do you need Liyakov? She feels that she wants to bear children in union, as a union with Yaakov, obviously. Kochos of Rachel mixed with the kochos of Yaakov bearing the fruit, right? So she gets jealous that her sister is giving birth. But Tomer el Yaakov havali banim, you know this, right? Mm-hmm. Yaakov had a very unexpected response. Mm-hmm. He says, it's your department. Don't look at me, right? That's really what he says. He says, "Vayomer tachas Elokim anochi, am I God? Asher mana mimech pribeten, that he withheld from you children." It's almost like Rachel's children are her department. It's not Yaakov. Rachel herself has to bear children through her own kochos, her own tefillah. That's really what he's saying. He's saying, "You daven. Don't turn to me to daven." For you, Chazal tell us here that she thought he would get like Yitzchak and put on sackcloth and ashes and never stop praying to have a child from Rachel. And he really said, "You daven, it's your child that you're davening for." Almost like a disconnect. And then when she gives birth to Yosef, it's a very strange lashon. Look at the words. Vayiz pasuk chafes, vayizkor lekim es Rachel. God remembered Rachel. Vayishma eleha Elokim, and God heard her. There's no Yaakov here at all. Vayiftach es Rachman, he opened her womb. Vatar, and she conceived. Vateled ben, and there's no Yaakov. Doesn't say vateled ben leYaakov. So it's almost like she stands alone with her children. And funny thing is, she is buried alone. She's buried alone. She's not buried with Yaakov. And her Zuchus stands alone too, separate from Yaakov, who came and pleaded. And Hashem didn't listen to Yaakov. He listened to none of them. They listened to Rachel. Rachel does stand alone. Her koach is almost like a koach in and of itself, unrelated to Yaakov. Unrelated to her role as Yaakov's wife. There's a whole koach going on here that's Rachel's and Rachel's alone. Seems to be. So the fact is that what Rachel did, thank you, I'm sorry. What Rachel did is associated exclusively with Rachel. Right? This is her avoda. So looking into some more of the Rashis to begin to understand what she did, the extent of her lack of jealousy and her lack of kinah, her not wanting her sister to be embarrassed. When she gives the simanim to Leah, okay, what happens here? Oh, I need that Rashi again, I'm sorry. What happens here?
Esther, she wasn't jealous of her sister for marrying Yaakov, but she was jealous of her sister for having children.
Yes. Okay. Right. And she was jealous that her sister had children, and she herself wanted children, but it's clear in the pasuk that she wanted children from Yaakov, which means in a partnership, as a full wife, and somehow her children would be almost hers, right? Almost hers, and not necessarily associated. Of course they're Yaakov's, but not. It's subtly telling you that they're Rachel and the kochos of Rachel that are at work here. So when she gives her, where's the Rashi I'm looking for here? Lamed Chaf Beis. When she says, you know, Havali Banim, give me children or I'll die, okay? And then she has a child, and she calls it Yosef. Here, Lamed Chaf Beis, the Rashi. okay, here. Vayizkor Elokim es Rachel. He remembers her. Now that's a very big term. By Yizkar, you have it by Sarah, you have it by Chana. And it says, what did Hashem remember? Zachar la, he remembered, Shemasra, oh, I can't read it anymore. Shemasra simaneha lachosa. It's that she gave the simanim to her sister. Now look at this. What were the implications of that? Look at the next words. If she gave Leah the right to marry Yaakov, where did that leave her? Well, who was Leah supposed to marry? So if she allows for this switch, then there's a very good chance that she's going to end up with Esav. More than that, didn't Esav sell his right as firstborn to Yaakov? Mm-hmm. So wasn't Yaakov technically the firstborn? And wasn't Leah technically the firstborn? So in a sense, she's risking Olam Hazeh, Chazal say, and we're going to read the Kedusha Salevi. She's risking Olam Hazeh, and she's risking Olam Haba, because she was afraid, and she was distressed, that now she's going to be Esav's lot. Furthermore, even though Yaakov did marry her, she had no children. So Shema Yagarshena Yaakov, maybe Yaakov will divorce her. Lefisha Ein Labanim, that she has no children. Va'af Esav Harasha Kach Ala Belibo, and that was Esav's cheshbon too. That was going on under the surface. It was tenuous. She might end up with Esav. And we never think about that, that's what she risked. And Esav would say when he heard, She'ein labanim, she would think with Yaakov, that's what it says, she realized she didn't have a child to Yaakov. Maybe it was because of Yaakov she didn't have children, and with Esav she would have children. Esav would say, with Yaakov you can't conceive, and there were so many reasons why she should end up with Esav now. So she's willing to risk Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, right? And all for what purpose? For the purpose that Leah should be married to Yaakov. Okay, and she should not be embarrassed, and she should not go through the bizayon. Now, more than that, it says that when Rachel, when he did marry Rachel, this is what the Kedusha Salevi says, and we'll go through it a little bit inside. Look at Pasuk Lamed. Because of her, because of the huge risk she took and the tremendous Mesiras Nefesh and total, putting herself aside, For the sake of her sister, Vayavo Gamel Rachel, and he married Rachel. He became her husband. He loved Rachel. Vayehav Gamis Rachel Mi Leah, and he loved Rachel because of Leah, from Leah, from what she had done for Leah. It caused Yaakov to love her even more. Here. The Kedusha Salevi says like this. He loved her for the fact that of what she had done for Leah, because of what it displayed about her. So here's what he says. Haklalhu, and this is in a madrega you can't really imagine, and this is what did not apply to all the other Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu. Haklalhu, she'adam tzarech lavod es habore baruch hu, lo bishvil shum kabbalah schar klal. A person has to serve Hashem, not for any reward at all, not in this world for sure, and not even in the next world. This is the highest madrig of all. V'yimsar atzmo min chelko ba'olam hazeh, and he should sacrifice himself by the risk of losing his chelik in olam hazeh, v'hein chelko ba'olam haba, and also his chelik in olam haba. B'chadei she'yaseh rotzon habore, so they should do what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. K'mo shematzino b'rachel, that's where we find it with Rachel. She'asta ha-mitzvah limsor ha-simanim l'Leah. She gave the simanim to Leah. Af al pishal yedeze shuv lo yisa osu Yaakov. There's a good chance Yaakov wouldn't marry her. And she'll become the lot of Esav, as we just read in Rashi. V'nimsa chas v'sholom, and therefore it will be, God forbid, tavod chelka l'olam haba. She will lose her portion in olam haba if she is linked up with Esav. Af al pikein, nevertheless, masra ha-simanim, Umasra atzma. She gave the simanim. She sacrificed herself. Hein chelka ba'olam hazeh. Her chelik in olam hazeh. To be the chosen wife of Yaakov. Hein ba'olam haba. Even in olam haba. B'kedei she'yaseh ritzon habore. So that she should do what Hashem wants. That's vayehav Yaakov es Rachel mi'Leah. Right? That he loved her because of what she did for Leah. We have Gamas Rachel Mileya. So he understood what she did. Now, what did she really do in the big picture? So we understood, okay, that from Klal Yisrael there would be a number of positions of authority. There would be Kohanim, there'd be Leviim, and there'd be Malachim, kings, okay? And Malachim, Malchus, they speak about Malchus as the Midah of Rachel, Malchus. And yet we're familiar with Malchus being Leah's, being Yehuda. But there also is Melech the Shaul, who gave the who was the first Melech before David. So what we're saying here is that Rachel not only gave over her chance to be part of Klal Yisrael and by bringing Leah in, but forever after that Mesiras Nefesh is displayed again and again, and it's an incomprehensible Mesiras Nefesh. So where do we see it? Again, giving over your rightful role as authority, as melech, to someone else, because not only that you're not jealous and you have rachmanis and you don't want that person to be embarrassed, but you realize that they're ra'oi for it. She must have realized that Leah is ra'oi for it. that she's right to be in Klal Yisrael and she can't leave her to fall in the lot of Esav. How do you see it in Rachel and Leah's descendants? Yeah, so we're going to look at that. So Yonah, son of David, is an astonishing episode. Shaul is the melech, right? The rightful heir is Yonasan. When David makes a hesped on Yonasan, who died with Shaul, who was his closest ally and friend, he says, and listen to the words of Tachazal, now read the words, now we understand, Niflesa avaschali, it's astonishing, your love for me, may ahavas noshim. More, now the simple way of reading it, the love you had for me is even more than love of women. In other words, I love you more than I even loved a woman. Which, by the way, people take the wrong way, and it's as in general, obviously. Okay, so how did Chazal read it? David had many wives. He loved women, obviously, but he says, your love is greater to me than the love of women. That's not what's really being said here. What is he saying? Niflesa avas chali, it's a pillar. It's astonishing. It's incomprehensible the way you love me. And where does it come from? Who are the nashim he's referring to? Me avas nashim. The love of these two ladies, Rachel and Leah. We'll talk about Leah's sacrifice too. It wasn't so easy to be stooped in there, right? And, you know, and never have her husband's love. But she also was Moser Nefesh to be Klal Yisrael. So here's what happened. When it came time for Shaul to begin to transition his Malchus to Yonasan, to Yonatan, Yonasan says to David, Va'ata Shmuel Aleph Perchav Gimel. It's incomprehensible. Va'ata Timloch Al Yisrael. No, David. You're going to be the king. I unilaterally abdicate. That's Rachel. That's Yonasan. That's the son of Shaul. That's Rachel. I unilaterally abdicate to you. He says, Ata Timloch Al Yisrael. You'll be the king. Va'anochi Elalocha L'mishneh. And I'll be your helper. V'gam Shaul Avi Yadachin. And I told this to my father Shaul. I'm not taking the throne. I'm giving it to David. This is Rachel, again, and Jonas and her grandchild, giving the dominant position to David HaMelech, to David HaMelech's future, allowing him to be the king. By the way, earlier, before this, David HaMelech, in appreciation, Leah's children, in appreciation for Rachel, what Rachel has done for them, he went and he saved Shaul from Goliath. Remember that? Shaul is from Rachel. And Shaul was completely paralyzed by the Goliath episode. He didn't know what to do. It was going on and on and on. There was no solution. And David HaMelech went, and in the sense of achrayus to Rachel's children, for what Rachel had done to allow for Yehuda to exist, his grandfather, so he went and saved Shaul from Goliath. By the way, we did this in another shiur a couple of years ago, a constant alliance between Yehuda and Binyamin, or Bnei Rachel, really, a constant alliance. Don't forget, it was Kalev ben Yefuna and Yoshua, Yehuda and Binyamin. That's Rachel and Leah, right? That were together, the spies that wouldn't speak badly about the land, right? And you have that after Nachshon from Yehuda jumps in the Yam, Shevet Binyamin follows first. In Pilegesh Begiva, where they tried to slaughter the whole Binyamin, Yehuda didn't participate. Even in the Purim story, Esther was from Shaul. What was her job? And it's the first time you hear this word used, really. She's saving the Yehudim. Right? There's an alliance starting when Yehuda said about Binyamin, Anochi Ervenu. I will take responsibility for him. This is all in gratitude and in response for what Rachel did to Leah, giving Leah the position. So here it goes further. Not only does Rachel completely abdicate to Leah, okay, then Yonasan abdicates to David, okay. Look at the final, these psukim that they're constantly quoting. V'shavu banim l'gevulam. Now let's think about that for a minute. That's the final abdication. How is it? How is it that Klal Yisrael returning to Eretz Yisrael is the final abdication of Rachel to Leah? And that's why her zechus is greater than everyone's chus, because she never stopped from beginning to end abdicating her rights, her position to Leah, to her sister Leah, which is why she says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I gave up everything. So you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have kavod that you can't give up for Klal Yisrael because they worshipped sticks and stones. You stand on your kavod. So how is in this v'shavu banim l'gvulam the final description of abdication of Rachel to Leah once more? So we know that Rachel did produce malchus, but it was a temporary malchus, right? Rachel's malchus only, if you think it through, was when Klal Yisrael were in a state of galus. Outside of Israel, there's Yosef in Mitzrayim. Yoshua, only until they conquer Israel and then he dies. Okay? Esther in Purim, in Bavel. Okay? Shaul was not meant to be a melech in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he didn't retain the malchus. And the very concept of having malachim from B'nai Rachel in Eretz Yisrael was always a disaster, because the malachim in the kingdom of Yisrael, as opposed to the kingdom of Yehuda, were primarily B'nai Rachel, and that kingdom didn't survive. Having malachim from B'nai Rachel was not destined to be in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the malchus was Beis Lechem Yehuda, right? There was the king from who would be, that was David from Beis Lechem, who would be also the Beis Lechem, the provider in Eretz Yisrael, is always exclusively meant to be from Yehuda, from Leah. So, as long as Klal Yisrael are in Golos and have to persevere over their enemies, over Amalek, over Esav, who's going to be the one who rules, who's going to dominate, is going to be B'nai Rachel. Always was B'nai Rachel. Amalek falls to B'nai Rachel. In fact, Chazal say that Esav, the Mesorah B'yadenu, here, Mesorah si B'yadenu, where did I write it down? Mesoras he is Bracious Rava. Mesoras he it is transmitted to us. She'ein ace of Nofel, Ella biyad baneha shel Rachel, because she was willing to, God forbid, end up in the portion of Esav and lose her olam haba. The schar is that Esav falls to B'nai Rachel in Golos. So that's the Purim story. That's the story of I guess the main one is the Purim story. That Amalek falls to B'nai Rachel. So what happens is this. And then there's also Mashiach ben Yosef in Golos that dies and defers to who? Mashiach ben David. So having Klal Yisrael return to Eretz Yisrael actually means what for Rachel? That B'nai Leah will once more take the supreme role and Malchus will return to Beis David from Leah again. And nevertheless, Her schar is that they will return to Eretz Yisrael. There's no greater example of a total, sense of bittul. They all express bittul. But the ultimate bittul is Rachel, that she's mispalo, that her children return, so that she's guaranteeing that the children of Leah will again take the supreme role. There is no other example of this. You know, there's the examples of the other of us, even Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't give up their olam haba. Don't give up everything forever. Don't continuously take for themselves a role that's destined to be secondary. That's a zechus of Rachel. And that zechus seems to be so powerful that Rachel is not associated with Yaakov. It's not that this is a combination. This is Rachel's koach. And she's buried alone, and we travel to Kever Rachel to daven for the kochos of Rachel. And this is what is Megalgel. It creates waves of Rachmanas, so to speak, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, so to speak. Because if a human being can do this, how could it not be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do this? Right? Total, continuous, eternal deference. So the zechus that Rachel leaves for us is, and the message that Rachel leaves for us is the message of Yosef and Binyamin. Now, let's just talk about the name Yosef for a second. Alright? Yosef. We saw that name already came up with Abraham. What does Yosef mean? In addition. So she said Hashem should give me an additional child. Yosef. In addition. Now, clearly Rachel was one of the most wanted as many children as possible, but the concept of hosafa, of adding, is the strangest kind of adding. Everything that Rachel added was less. She added Leah, so she was less. She gave the kosher, she added the malchus that it should come from Leah, so her children would not. She added the zechus that Klal Yisrael will have a geula, so that she, again, so that she would, that Bnei Rachel wouldn't have a job anymore. All her hosafa, what she added to the marriage, and what she added to her life's achievement, is bittul. It's a very strange way of thinking about adding. Because when we think about adding, we think about having more. What she added by giving, as we said, Leah to Yaakov, is she added the possibility of her losing her Olam Haba. It's a very strange form of adding. But at the same time, what's Yosef's Midah? Yosef's Midah, let's go back one step. We have the seven Ushpizen. And the seven Ushpizen are associated with the seven Sphiros. Now, without getting too mystical and, Kabbalistic, okay? When we talk about spheros, another way of talking about spheros is kochos embedded in the world. Ways that Hashem conducts the world, for example, chesed is a sphere, one of the spheros, and din. So it's modes that Hashem conducts the world. But when we say that Hashem conducts the world a certain way, what we mean also is it's a koach embedded in the nature of the world. So there's a koach of chesed. What is that koach? So you see it all around you. It's life. It's life, life in a gazillion forms, life that regenerates, life that heals itself, even on our bodies, 15,000 types of palm trees, the beauty of nature, the complexity of nature, the ongoing guaranteed continuance of life, that's chesed. And din, it's gevura, restraint, it's all around us in the Bria, not just in the midas of Hashem that he doesn't punish right away, but in the Bria you see the power of restraint. For example, if you release the atomic energy in a dime, one dime, the entire planet would explode. So there's this restrained force, a tremendous energy that's restrained. So there are seven spheres, and they're associated with seven forces in the world. And they're associated with seven individuals. So chesed, you know, is Avram. And gevura, you know, is Yitzchak. And Emes, you know, or Tiferes is? Then there's Netzach and Hod. Who's that? Moshe and Aaron. Without going into a discourse on, you were in Queens. Without going into a discourse on Moshe and Aaron is Netzach and Hod. And then there's Kol, or sometimes called Yesod, and Malchus. Kol is Yosef. Kol is Yosef. And Malchus is David. Now, these are the seven Ushpizen. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. Now, if you put them in three categories, you have the founding fathers, the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. They establish the basic concepts of the Midas of Hashem that are most operative, and our responsibility to emulate them and to accept them. So there's the Chesed, the Din, and the combination of both, which is called Tiferes. That's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe and Aaron clearly are the two forces that bring Torah down to us as a nation and that allow us to reach up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe brings Torah down, and Aaron brings Karbanos up. It's Moshe and Aaron. There one is Netzach and one is Hod, without spending too much time on that right now. So that's the next phase. First, there's the establishment of the way Hashem conducts the world. That's the Avos, and our responsibility to emulate that and to live like that and to be makabel that. Then there's Torah. Hashem's giving Torah to us, and the Torah we initiate, and the way we reach out to Kodesh Baruch Hu through our initiation, our efforts in Torah mitzvahs. And then comes Yosef and David, Rachel and Leah. And that's Kol and Malchus. Now, Malchus we know is David. Malchus, that's David. What is Kol? That's a strange midah. What is Kol? Netzach is eternity. That's Moshe. Torah is eternal. Hod comes from the word echo, hadad, echo, that Aaron sends back up the karbanos. Hashem gives us and we give back. And sometimes, mostly, we start giving up and then Hashem returns to us. It's an echo. The two straps in the tefillin, by the way, represent Moshe and Aaron, Netzach and Hod. And you know, for example, the concept of us initiating and Hashem returning is just in the terms of tefillah and avodah is always nimshal to the water in the oceans that evaporates, condenses, and returns. Right? That's the geshamim. So Moshe and Aaron, we understand the force to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's blessing to us. Malchus, we can understand. What is kol? Everything. What does that mean? It's a midah of Yosef is kol. And by the way, this is what David HaMelech says in, and we say it in Davening, Vavarach David. V'cha Hashem HaGedula, that's Chesed, HaGevura, V'atiferis is Yaakov, V'hanetzach, V'ahod, Ki Kol, V'ashemayim uva'aretz, L'cha Hashem HaMamlacha. Okay? So, this is what David's speaking about when he speaks to Shlomo. But what is Yosef? What is Kol? And it comes from Rachel, obviously. And it's associated with the word of Vayosef, because Vayosef is in addition, more. And Kol also means everything, right? But the strange paradox is that the more and the everything is less, right? So what does Kol mean? Kol is this. And we spoke about this a few years ago in relationship to Hashem Berach Avram Bakol. Kol is forms the shorish of the word keli, a utensil to be used, a vessel to be used, right? Now, the kol also forms other weird shorashim because they're opposite from each other. In other words, vayechulu hashemayim va'aretz, vayechal. What does that mean? Vayechulu hashemayim, it was finished. On the other hand, we say there's a kalosis, the beginning of something. When something just starts, when we start a project, it's the kalos, the beginning. Also, there's vayechulu, and it was the end. And then, if you remember the psukim, which we say in Kiddush, vayechulu hashemayim va'aretz, it was finished. But then we end by saying, asher bara elokim lasos, that Hashem created in order to keep doing. It's like just the beginning. The end of the sheish yisumei bereishis is just the beginning of what had to happen. So it's the end and the beginning. Also, what's a kala? Certainly standing at the beginning of a threshold. Right, the beginning of a whole journey, the beginning of opportunity. Kol sa nafshi, my nefesh is yearning for what? There's a whole road ahead of me. I'm yearning to achieve, to move down this road, to accomplish, to acquire. I'm yearning. It's future. There's things, more that I can achieve. So, what is it? The secret of Kol or Kaylee and Yosef Hosafa more. So, this is how we think about more and Kol and everything. What we think about is that, and this is what Yosef, as we said, represents, that kol is the concept of a keli. That everything is an opportunity to be used, like we are a utensil, and that we have a job. A keli, like clay zion, like implements of war, any type of implements, they're tools to accomplish something. So every single thing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us, we see as an opportunity, as a potential for accomplishment. And the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us are more opportunities for accomplishment. Even if in Rachel's case, which is so paradoxical and counterintuitive, that the opportunities and the more that she acquired is having less herself. Because she's a keli, she's the ultimate keli to be used to bring about, in the end, Klal Yisrael and the Malchus and Klal Yisrael. The kohos of Malchus and Klal Yisrael. And she's the vessel, she's the vehicle to bring it about. So what she added to herself is that she's more of a keli by sacrificing more. So it has nothing to do with kol, with having a lot. Now, how do you say I have a lot of things, I've acquired a lot? So Esav talks like that. Yesh li rov. A lot. Harbe. We don't talk about harbe, we talk about kol, that everything's a kli. We have Mesores, we just read it, that Esav falls to B'nai Rachel. Because it's the rov versus the kol. Because it's a very strange way of acquiring things, is acquiring opportunities for total bittul and total loss. Loss of Olam Haba, loss of her role of leadership in Eretz Yisrael, right? All loss of Mashiach ben Yosef to Mashiach ben David, all to bring about the destiny, the future of Klal Yisrael. So this is also Yosef's midah. In other words, when he was the king and he had rov, he had harbe, how did he view that? He saw it strictly as a kli. He said, Hashem, send me here to support you. That's my role. He never saw it as self-serving. And that's what gave him the koach to really resist Eshes Potiphar. Because he saw himself as playing a role and not serving himself. And he saw himself as playing a role in the ultimate support of Klal Yisrael, and he didn't want to jeopardize it completely. So Yosef is associated, Yosef and David are Kol, which leads to Malchus. That's Rachel, which submits to Leah. And of all the midas, you know, that we try to emulate, this one is almost incomprehensible. So there's no question, there's no surprise that Rachel's, you know, Rachel's schar is the eternity of Klal Yisrael, the survival of Klal Yisrael, the return of Klal Yisrael, the establishment of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, to guarantee that they'll return from Gullus. And then on a just to take it down to a, you know, individual level, there's a constant battle in every person's heart and soul. And we're ultimately Klal Yisrael's B'nai Rachel. There are remnants of B'nai Leah among us, even though the 10 lost tribes were lost, right? But there are remnants of the Shvatim among us. But the nation is predominantly B'nai Rachel, it seems. It certainly was at one point when those were the ones who survived. Just technically speaking, that when the northern kingdom realized that Sancheir was about to attack and capture, many refugees ran south. So we have remnants of all the Shvatim. It's not like we're only two Shvatim. And they disappeared into far-flung places, which, by the way, we seem to be finding today, like in Indochina and in Peru and in who knows where. They ran. But there are still remnants of Bnei Leah. But predominantly, the people that survived were Bnei Rachel. And so this Mida, which is meant to exist not just in Rachel and not just in a general concept in Klal Yisrael, but in every single person, there's always the battle that's almost, you know, super, you know, natural to overcome, which is that the more a person doesn't put their own agenda first, but rather puts their own doesn't even have an agenda, and the person therefore is less and more mevatel and plays a less role, let's say, that's the way how the person is more in the eyes of Hashem. That's how the person is kol, is everything in the eyes of Hashem. It's just a completely different way of looking at the concept of kol. It's not more, it's keli. It's everything is whatever opportunity there is, it's a keli. And sometimes that means to be less. Alright, so I just want to say one thing about Leah. My grandfather's beautiful vart that we're worth repeating every year. Leah also was in a pretty miserable predicament, if you think about it. You know, you realize that both Rachel and Leah, for the sake of building Klal Yisrael, were allowed themselves to be subjected to very unpleasant personal situations. I don't think anyone would choose in a vacuum to be Leah, shtuked in as a wife that wasn't wanted and all of that. So you see when the way she named her children, that she was constantly trying to establish her position as a legitimate wife. So Reuven, Hashem saw my pain. Shimon, Hashem heard my suffering. She was suffering. Levi, maybe this time her husband will be one with me in the company. She was suffering. What does she name her fourth child? Yehuda, Hoda'ah. Hoda'ah. Now, it's very strange because in Meseches Brachos, Amar of Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Miyom Shabara HaKadosh Baruch HaSo Lamo, Lo Haya Adam Shehoda LaKadosh Baruch HaAd Shabasa Leah. No one gave Hoda'ah until Leah came. Now that's, what about Mizmah Shir Yom HaShabbos? Adam sang Ashira. So what do you mean no one gave Hoda'ah? No one thanked Hashem to Leah? Avram never said Hoda'ah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So my grandfather says here a beautiful vart. He says, no, Leah's Hoda'ah was completely different. Also, like in a certain way, a bittle. She wanted her husband's love. She wanted to be a primary wife. She wanted to be an equal, right? It's very painful when somebody isn't. By the fourth child, she realized she wasn't going to get that. It wasn't going to happen. He loved Rachel more. So her hoda'ah is a thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the situation as it is, even though it's not what she hoped for. That's also a keli. That's also Malchus. That's Malchus also. That the situation is what it is. And I have Amode Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on what it is. That's the first time anyone gave Hodah like that. That's why she's the initiator of it. And so you were talking about astonishing people, if you think about it. Astonishing people. And no wonder Klal Yisrael, you know, these are the Mahos. Klal Yisrael has Kochos that are also astonishing within us. And we should have zuchus that Rachel's prayers are magen aleinu bekarov, and we should have a return to Eretz Yisrael. Amen. Amen.